What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I don't know what it is, but it's phenomenal.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
What, am I missing something?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The reality is, humans are humans are humans, and that's never going to end.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
It's a big, big deal.
Hello. You speak English, sir? Parlo, usted inglés?
60% of the time, it works. Every time.
I've done the math on this. We've talked about it on this show before.
That's a fact.
You'll learn a little something about yourself.
That's us, dude.
That's why we're radio shows.
That's right.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
Let's do this. Discussing issues that matter to you. Finding real answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now, here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. John Rush, Dan Mueller, Charlie Grimes, our engineer, Jenna Ellis, joining us from Colorado Christian University, professor of law, constitutional law there. And then Cassie, our intern, is still there. Could get her mic up there. Cassie?
Hello.
Oh, Charlie has to turn your mic up. Hang on, he's busy. He'll get his mic up in a second. There we go. We'll get her mic up,
hi.
I should say. There we go. I meant Kurt, because Kurt's joining us as well. Kurt Rogers also joining us for our Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt, what's going on today?
Now, you know, pretty much the same thing, but rates just keep moving down. Seems like every day they click down a little bit more and more.
They're moving down while the Fed raises them up. That makes no sense. I'm confused.
Well, I'd have to agree with you, but remember, the Fed's rate only covers short-term loans, credit cards, car loans, you know, home equity lines of credit.
Okay.
Really doesn't affect the bond market, which is what controls, you know, fixed rates, long-term rates.
So what you're saying is it's still a good time to either redo the mortgage, take some money out, remodel the home, get some things done around the house, pay off some debt, up your credit score, lower your payment. All those things can still be done.
You should do advertising for me, John. That was just perfect. About the only thing you left out was they've got, and I've talked about this in the past, this 1% down program is just killer. I mean, I've had, you know, three people I'm closing this week that we started 2-3 weeks ago. 1% down, no mortgage insurance, and they're done.
Wow.
That's a great deal.
That is really a great deal. So, okay, where's the threshold where if somebody is renting and paying X amount for rent versus buying, what roughly, and I know it's different for each individual person, but in a roundabout number, what's kind of that threshold if somebody's renting they could own?
If you're renting at around $1,200 to $1,300 a month, you could probably buy almost twice the size place that you're living in for the same kind of money in square footage.
Wow.
That's huge, actually.
Wow. That is really big. Wow.
It really does add up pretty fast. You know, if you're renting a 900-square-foot place, you could probably rent a 1,500 to 1,800-square-foot place and still pay $1,200 to $1,300 a month and own it.
Yeah, and own it by
and
your own. Yeah, have. You know, putting money in your own pocket instead of somebody else's.
Yeah, we were talking last night to another couple about, you know, just younger kids and how to get into this market and so on. And the reality is, Kurt, you know this as well as I, if younger kids even had bought homes, you know, purchased homes, I should say, bought is not the right word, but purchased homes, I don't know, even 3-4 years ago, the equity today would be astounding, would it not?
If they had bought a home, you know, 3-4 years ago, the average price of a home was under $300,000. Now it's close to $400,000.
So 100 grand.
Yeah, you're going to make $80,000 to $100,000 in they have in the last 3 to 4 years. That's probably going to pretty well continue, but not quite that high. But you're still going to make 60-70 grand.
Plus, and like this or not, but it exists. You also end up with some tax deductions that you don't get when you're renting.
That's exactly right. And like my wife says, the best part is you can put a nail in the wall anywhere you want.
That's a fact, yeah. No, home ownership got us, you know, whether even outside of the mortgage deduction and all of that, just that alone is worth doing. Kurt, how do folks get a hold of you?
720-895-0500 or go to the website at aimortgage.net.
Hey, Kurt, before you leave, what do you got coming up on Haystack tomorrow at noon?
I'm so glad you asked, Dan. We have, you know, with the new health care bill coming out and what they're voting on, We got our expert on tomorrow. We got some great conversation going on about what that new bill is going to consist of and how it really works from a layman's point of view.
Awesome.
It's going to be great.
Good stuff. All right, Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage. Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
You bet.
Bye.
Take care. All right, we'll come right back. Let's do this. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. Get Jenna going here on the topics of the day, legally speaking. Ryan Wood is up next, though.
It's been a fantastic Monday. I'm so excited.
Yeah, a lot going
on. This has been the best Monday.
I just wish Jenna would just tell us what's on her mind.
She will.
She never does. She just always just sits there.
She'll tell us.
With my little tiara.
Hold that thought.
It's pink and sparkly.
Hold that thought. Speaking of legal, though, Ryan Wood, this is not an area that Jenna specializes in, but Ryan does. If you're battling in debt, you've got some crises going on, loss of a job, divorce, medical bills, and so on, and you got to negotiate with creditors and or look at bankruptcy, Ryan Wood is your guy. And it is a specialty all on its own. 720-465-1406. Call Ryan today, and when you do, tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
I just don't know what to do. We are buried under all of this debt. I don't know how our finances got so out of control. Maybe it's time to consider bankruptcy.
Oh, I don't know about that, sweetie. My uncle told me that if we file for bankruptcy, then we will lose everything. My uncle said we'll lose our house, our car, everything. And my uncle said that if we file for bankruptcy, we'll never be able to fix our credit. And he said that only bad people and crooks file for bankruptcy.
Isn't your uncle a used car salesman? How does he know so much about bankruptcy?
I don't know.
Don't take legal advice about bankruptcy from people who don't know the ins and outs of this complicated legal tool. If your debt problems seem impossible to overcome and you feel like you have nowhere to go, call me, Attorney Ryan Wood, for a free consultation to see if bankruptcy is right for you. If bankruptcy is the answer to your problems, I will help you. But even if bankruptcy is not the answer, I can help you negotiate with the collectors so you can get the breathing room you need to get your financial life back on track. Call me, Ryan Wood, at 720-465-1406 to get honest and accurate legal advice from a professional.
Are you buying your first home? Or are you right-sizing or downsizing for lower maintenance or a lock-and-leave lifestyle? This is Pamela Meyer of Denver Home Navigators with Keller Williams. I can help you discover and reach those goals. This is more than just real estate. It's about your life and your dreams. Call me today for your free consultation at 303-506-0106.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Jenna Ellis with us again, CCU professor. We're going to talk about, what do you want to do first, Jack Phillips?
Yes.
All right, let's start there.
Cake. All right.
Supreme Court stuff going on. Jack Phillips is one of them.
Yeah, this was a huge Monday for so much going on in the Supreme Court. One of the biggest things is that they finally decided to accept and hear the Masterpiece Cake Shop case.
Why is that so important that they agreed to hear it? Let's start there.
Right. So the Supreme Court, other than a very, very, very few select cases, does not actually have to hear anything. So what they could have done...
Yeah, they can just reject them, right?
Right. They can...
They pass them back down, right?
They can say, you know what, we just decline, and they don't even have to give a reason. They can just say, we decline to hear this, and then the lower court ruling, in this case, the Colorado Court of Appeals decision
stands, right?
Would have stayed in place.
Okay. And so just to make sure everybody understands that, just because somebody requests their case to go to the Supreme Court, federally speaking... doesn't mean that it does, right?
And even state speaking. So the Colorado,
so both ways.
So both ways.
Okay.
And this goes up the federal level because it goes to a federal question, which in this case is the First Amendment, free exercise clause, religious liberty. All of that falls under the United States Constitution. Thus, you can appeal. It's not just a Colorado state specific.
So the importance
law.
Of this going to the Supreme Court, not just for Jack, but everybody else listening, is this will, for me as a business owner, define the future. I'm guessing, depending upon how they rule, what I as an owner can do or not do, especially if I have artistic things going on in my business. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, and not just for business owners, but even for individuals. As we know, the First Amendment preserves and protects our ability to freely exercise our religious beliefs. And part of that should include declining to participate in someone else's religious beliefs. And so in this case, a gay wedding, a same-sex marriage wedding, actually is a religious ceremony as well.
Right.
And so in this case where Jack Phillips is saying, you know, I'm happy to have you as a customer otherwise. If
I'll sell you a staple cake, cupcakes, anything else that's in
right.
the that's under the glass, whatever. But just don't ask me to make you something specific for your wedding that I would have to be artistically involved in, right? Make
right.
sure I'm saying
and
that correctly.
Correct. And so it would be the same thing as asking someone who is Jewish, for example, that they have a lot of dietary restrictions, have all those things, to say, well, we want you to do something that goes against your Jewish faith so that you can accommodate and
so
essentially
let's,
participate
let's use
in a Christian
example.
Ceremony.
Let's use this example. So let's say that because I know this would be a bigger deal even. Let's say that a Muslim couple came to a Jewish chef, said, we really want to see, we'd really love to have you cater our wedding, but there's things that we'd like you to prepare that maybe in your faith you can't.
Correct.
Or even as Christians, as you said a moment ago, I want ham sandwiches. Okay, we all know that the Jews are not going to do ham sandwiches, okay? That's not going to happen for that particular Jewish chef. In a lot of cases. Now, if he's not Orthodox, they may go ahead and choose to do whatever because they're not abiding by their core faith, quote-unquote, their core orthodoxy. But if they're a core Orthodox Jew and they basically say, no, John, I'm not going to roast that pork pig for you. I'm not going to put the pig on the spit and do that for you. That's just not something that we believe in as Orthodox Jews. That basically is no different than what Jack did, correct?
Right. And so this isn't just a Christian conservative agenda. And no. I want to clarify that. It's preserving and protecting the religious liberty of every American, regardless of what
Whether
your
you
religious liberty is. Correct. And
okay.
so that's why this case is so important. And it's really important specifically because we've seen the left, especially under President Obama, for 8 years ramrod the LGBT agenda down everyone's throat. And to say that particular discrimination, quote unquote, discrimination against the LGBT community, that can't stand under the First Amendment. So what happened in Jack Phillips' case is that the case initially was filed by the two same-sex men
right.
who wanted
who, by the way, were great customers prior to this.
Right.
Jack probably never would have any idea this was even coming.
And so they filed a discrimination claim or complaint with the Colorado Civil Rights Commission outside the scope of due process. There's a lot of stuff we could talk about that whole agency. But essentially, they claimed that this is discriminating against them on the basis of their sexual orientation. He says, no, 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 no. This is not something where I'm discriminating against you because you're gay. I'm saying that I have a sincerely held religious belief. He also has the freedom of association, freedom of contract, all of these things that our Constitution's designed to protect. And he should be able to say, no, I'm not willing to participate in your particular religious ceremony because it goes against my exercise of religion. So when you have two people clashing like that, he should be able to decline. They should be able to go and get that service elsewhere. And so this is really important for you and I, John, and everyone else that's out there in Colorado, in all of America, to have the Supreme Court apply the First Amendment, which is what they are bound to do. That's the role of the judicial branch. Apply correctly the Constitution's mandate to protect and preserve our religious liberty to say, no, I can decline to participate in that. It's no different than saying, you know what, I decline to participate even in the military because I have a freedom of conscience. I am a conscientious objector. That's essentially what this is. He's conscientiously objecting and saying, I'm going to decline to participate in your particular brand of religious belief.
And I want to make sure that we're clear on this for all of you liberals listening that I may be ruffling feathers on. Jack never said, I won't sell you anything. I don't want you as a quote-unquote customer. What he said was, I won't cross this threshold of designing and making a cake for your quote-unquote wedding because it now becomes something that I just can't cross the line into. I'll sell you brownies. I'll sell you cupcakes. I'll sell you pre-made cake out of the case all day long. I don't care. I don't care what your sexual orientation is when it comes to that side of being a customer. But when it comes to me designing specifically your wedding cake, I have to draw the line.
And that becomes where it's now participation in the ceremony, and it's consciously knowing that
sure
you are using your
sure.
artistic abilities
yep.
in order to participate.
And anybody that's been involved in any kind of a wedding plan, which I have because we had four girls, so I know a little bit, and some boys as well, so I know a little bit about this. That wedding cake is very much a centerpiece of what's going on in most weddings. Now, not all. I agree. In some weddings, they go buy a store-bought cake, whatever, throw it out, and you're good to go. But in a lot of weddings, especially ones where it becomes a more high-fluting event, maybe is the way for me to say that, the cake becomes, especially to a lot of brides, not to the grooms, they probably don't care one way or the other, but to the bride, the wedding cake is a big, big deal in the wedding itself. You guys are both ladies. Am I correct in what I just said?
Oh, yeah. Well, to girls, every part of the wedding is kind of a big
True.
Deal. But
the cake especially,
the cake,
right?
The cake
the
is
taste,
huge.
how it looks, what's on it, how it's done, how it's decorated. Is it three-tier? How tall is it? How wide is it? What's it going to look like? What kind of frills are going to be on it? Who's on top? I mean, all these different things come into play, correct?
Yeah, and I also want to contrast this as well and say, you know, this is specifically a religious ceremony. I mean, marriage is inherently a religious function. And yet, we saw last year with the inauguration and once the Trumps were elected and Donald Trump was elected, that designers, for a political reason, not even a religious liberty reason, said, we're going to decline to participate in designing a dress for Melania Trump. And that was on the basis of just mere politics.
Some artists that didn't want to perform at the inauguration said the same thing. So I'm curious, what's the difference?
Well, there's no difference in the sense of participation, but what is different in terms of Jack Phillips'
is
favor
the religious side of
is
it, right?
The religious liberty that is specifically textually preserved in the First Amendment to say that is a fundamental liberty that, guess what, the government cannot screw with. So we're talking about government compelling you or I as an individual to then force participation, to coerce participation.
Okay, so moving, you know, fast forwarding, we're getting into October. They're going to hear the case. If the court stays exactly the way it is now, we're going to talk about that in a moment, but let's say it stays exactly the way it is now. What are your thoughts?
I think it'll be a 5-4 split, and I'm hoping that Kennedy will do the right thing if he stays on the court and will be that fifth vote. And again, I want to make sure that everyone out there understands that this isn't a conservative outcome agenda versus a liberal outcome agenda. It's either a liberal outcome agenda, meaning they just want to ramrod LGBT quote-unquote rights, versus the people who, and the justices like Justice Gorsuch, who want to protect and preserve the original function and mandate of the Constitution. If we are preserving liberty for everyone, even those we disagree with, then this outcome can and should be in the favor of Jack Phillips. And so that's where I think it's going to go. And I'm hopeful now that they haven't taken up this case through 14 judicial conferences. That's been kind of amazing. Now that they finally are, with Justice Gorsuch participating in those conversations, now I think that that's a pretty good indication that hopefully we'll get a good outcome.
Well, you know, going back to the original part of this case, you know, Cynthia Kaufman and John Southers, you know, said that Jack Phillips violated the Equal Accommodations Clause in Colorado. So I went and asked Jack. Now, I'm a white, straight male. So I went down and asked Jack Phillips if he would make a gay wedding cake for me. And he said no. So he treated me as equally as he treated the gay couple, because he would not make that gay wedding cake for me. Now, am I way off on my analogy here?
No, and it shows that Jack Phillips is refusing to participate in the ceremony. He's not refusing and not discriminating against the individual customer. He's not saying, you know, listen, I'm not going to sell you cakes, brownies, the exact same product on the basis of your particular sexual orientation. That's where the same analogy would be like, well, what if, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, if an African-American were coming in and people on the basis of their skin color? This is not the same thing. We're talking about where the cake is being used and participation in that ceremony. We're not talking about the individual customer's identification.
I'll throw something else into it that some may or may not like. Mike, I'll get to you in just one second. I'm going to throw something else in again that the LGBT community will not like. I still feel like personally that their lifestyle is a choice. Being born black is not.
That's also correct. Being homosexual is not an immutable characteristic under the law. And also public accommodation, by the way, generally and historically speaking under the law, is for housing, food, things that you can't survive without.
Right.
Wedding cakes, bridezillas, really, you can survive without a wedding cake.
Mike and Castle Rock, you're next.
You haven't met my wife, because she could not survive without a wedding cake.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you know, my brother just got married a couple weekends
ago.
They had a macaroon tower, which was fantastic. And so, they also had a little wedding cake, but that was significant to them. And, you know, there's a whole history behind that.
Everybody's got their own deal for that.
Yeah. So this actually isn't something he can't survive without.
My wife and I had a lovely, like about an 8-foot tree that was chopped down into about 3 feet. So you can imagine the width of the circumference of the branches, and it was like 5 tiers. It was really lovely.
Wow!
Until my wife went
that's got to be expensive
cake on my nose, and she swung so hard, and I turned into it and almost went deaf because she handed me inside.
Oh no! Oh
no! It was really a fun wedding video.
That's awesome.
So my question is religious freedom? I pretty much agree with everything you're saying, mostly from a libertarian perspective. The government shouldn't be telling, any business owner who they should and shouldn't do business with, for the most part. But just looking at the parallel issue, and I'm going to ask this very carefully because I have just from a specific perspective, we say it's religious freedom, but if I'm in a church and I'm a pastor and I have my two of my customers and they want to get married, parishioners, thank you, and they want to get married, it is okay for the government to come in and tell me that these people I can marry, but those people I can't marry. Often people with the perspective you have are vehemently against gay marriage. I'm of the take that the government needs to get out of the business of recognizing marriages at all, but if they're going to, and if there's going to be laws to protect marriages, and there isn't a law that says, that defines a marriage, then it seems like you'd be hypocritical to say it's religious freedom to say who I can bake a cake for, but not say who I can marry. Again, if it's
I would
two
say
men
it's exactly
it's
the same.
That I can't.
I would say it's the same too, and I think that you're conflating a couple of issues here. One of those things is that it still is religious liberty for churches to decide who can become their members and what type of qualifications. So, for example,
in some cases, some churches don't even allow you to get married unless you're a member of the church
exactly.
in the first place.
Right, and so for those churches, which is the best way to protect their religious liberty, they would say you can't use our facilities unless you are a member here, and membership can be defined. Like, for example, my church would say if you're living in sin, one of those ways would be as a member of the homosexual community. That's defined in scripture, living in sin. Then they would say you can't have membership here. And they would also say we believe in traditional marriage, and so we'll only marry one man and one woman who are eligible. I mean, there are some churches who even it's one man and one woman, but based on prior divorces or, you know, other things,
right.
they will even decline
that.
There,
yeah, there's some churches where if you've been married once before, you will not get married in that church, period, no matter what your lifestyle today is.
Right. And yeah. so
and
there...
That's, and by the way, frankly, if that's what they choose to do, so be it. I'm probably not going to be a member there, but, you know, that's their call.
Right. And so...
Well, right. But conversely, if they choose to marry two men or to marry two women, it seems like you've said in the past that it's fine if the government says we're not going to recognize that because that's not how we define marriage.
Well, so the federal government has no business in marriage whatsoever because Article 1, Section 8 specifically gives the areas of law that the federal government can legislate on. And domestic relations as a whole, where marriage licensing would fall under that, that is specifically a power not granted to the federal government. So I don't care if you're pro same-sex marriage, if you're pro, you know, the thruples, whatever you are, that's specifically not given to the federal government. It has to be reserved to the states. And so for states like Kentucky, who had a religious freedom constitutional amendment and had a traditional marriage amendment, they specifically said, our state has decided we will uphold the standards of traditional marriage. Constitutionally, that is reserved to that state to determine. Now, if California wants to go ahead and they want to license same-sex marriage, that actually, in my view, is unconstitutional. But through the powers that are reserved to the states, that there's at least an argument there for civil unions that the state can allow, but the federal government has absolutely no involvement whatsoever constitutionally. So that's the difference.
I gotcha. But then, again, back to your personal view, since the federal government does have laws along those lines and the state do as well.
The federal government
agree,
doesn't,
John,
actually.
You said it sounds the same.
The federal government doesn't. So the Obergefell v. Hodges decision, which, by the way, today is the 2-year anniversary of that decision, and that's where the federal government stepped in and tried to be a super legislature. And they tried to say, now we are going to make this the law of the land when the federal government, Congress can't do it. And so the Supreme Court had absolutely no business weighing in on the merits of that case. Or, in the alternative, what they should have said is that Congress has no ability to do this. We can't review it. It is up to the states what they will do individually. And so no, there's no federal law out there that says that. It's all up to the states. All domestic relations issues are litigated and arbitrated in state courts according to state licensing. I can't go out and get a federal marriage license.
Good point. Great point.
I was disappointed in the way they wrote that ruling. If it would have been a simply saying, look, if states, if you have a law that applies to marriage, then you can't have anything that discriminates against the type of marriage. If it was just simply based on the 14th Amendment saying equal protection yep. under the law, there are laws that protect this marriage, then you can't say they don't protect every marriage.
Well, and that's another thing. Right. And that's another thing that I agree with you, that states, you know, if they want to get out of the marriage business altogether, that's fine. But like, for example, what Kentucky did in 2004 by saying we have a traditional marriage amendment because we understand that marriage traditionally is through the church. We are only going to recognize the covenant of marriage. Now, if they want to do a civil union and have, you know, property distribution right. and that kind of thing, I actually have no problem with that. I have no problem with, so I'm single right now, right? So I'm not in a marriage. And if I want to have my estate planning and I want to designate my mom or, you know, my neighbor or whoever that one individual is to receive and inherit my property, that's fine.
Or care for you when you're sick or what
exactly,
have,
or
whatever,
power
same
of attorney,
situation, right?
Right, but that has nothing to do with me entering into what should be a covenant of marriage. And that's why what the conservatives failed to do in the 60s and 70s is to preserve and protect the meaning, ultimately, of traditional marriage and distinguish that from civil unions.
Good point. Mike, does that help?
All set. Thanks a lot.
You betcha. Appreciate it
Thanks
very much.
Call.
Wayne in Castle Rock, hang tight. We'll come right back to you. Larry's Automotive and Transmission is coming up next. And I'll tell you, our trip inspections, getting ready for this weekend, all the different things surrounding that. You got to get in and get things taken care of. So up north, it's Larry's Automotive and Transmission in the heart of Westminster, 72nd and Federal, 720-636-9500. Don't forget about their AC check, which you're going to need this week.
Absolutely.
Probably need it today, actually.
Right now.
Let's see, how hot is it? 88 right now.
You know, I learned something, too, doing drive radio over the weekend. Maybe it's just something as simple as a filter.
Could be. You'd never know without
never
asking.
Know.
So check it out. Check out their AC special as well, 720-636-9500, and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Don't wait until you have hot air blowing in your face when it's 100 degrees outside. Stay cool this summer. Make sure your AC is ready to battle the heat. Call Larry's Automotive and Transmission Repair today and have their ASE-certified Master Tech take a look under your hood to make sure that your AC system is in tip-top order. If they do find a problem, you know you can trust Larry's Automotive to fix it right because they're members of Colorado Select. It doesn't matter if you need a coolant charge, if you need a leak patched, or a whole AC system replacement. Call Larry's Automotive and Transmission Repair and they will fix it. Call Larry's today and make your AC checkup appointment. 720-636-9500. That's Larry's Automotive and Transmission Repair. 720-636-9500. 720-636-9500.
All right, Kevin Flesh, fleshlawfirm.com, 303-806-8886. So getting ready for this weekend, we talk about getting your car ready. Well, how about getting yourself ready, legally speaking? What I mean by that is have his number in your phone. You never know what's going to come up in a long weekend like this, and you may need Kevin at your side. 303-806-8886. Again, Kevin Flesh, trial tested, trial ready. Tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Sirens blaring. Red and blue lights flashing. Getting accused of a DUI is a serious matter. Don't panic. You have Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law on your side.
License and registration, please.
Here you go, officer.
Whether you did it or not, the moment those lights turn on behind you, you're in for a life-changing experience. Keep your hands where the officers can see you. You don't want to put them on edge. And never get out of the car unless asked.
Could you step out of your vehicle, please?
Sure.
Never argue. Always listen to the officers. Be polite, but don't volunteer any information.
What's this about, officers?
Remember, you do have the right to remain silent. One wrong move, and your life may never be the same.
Have you been drinking tonight?
Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. When you've been charged with a crime, call KLZ's expert defense attorney, Kevin Flesh, at 303-806-8886. That's Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law at 303-806-8886. The trial-tested representation you need in your corner.
It's time for a tasty and refreshing snack.
Come to the 88 Drive-In. Admission includes all features. Pay for one or all three. Admission is $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Go to 88drivein.com for more information.
You get more out of life when you go out to a movie.
Being held at the 88 Drive-In starting Friday, June 16th. At 9 p.m., it's Captain Underpants. Then at 10:40, it's Wonder Woman. And to wrap things up for the evening, Alien Covenant starts at 1 a.m. Admission is only $8 per person, and that includes all three featured films. Don't forget about the 88 Drive-In's pizza special running Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for just $11. For showtimes and specials, go to 88drivein.com.
I I love guns. In fact, the only guns I don't like are the ones I don't own.
Rush to Reason listeners sure do love to shoot. So if you're the owner of a gun club, we've got the audience you need to get your name in front of to grow your business. Call me Dan Muir today for the most competitive rates so we can create an advertising campaign tailored to your unique business. You can be sure John and I will be there testing out your range so we can give personal recommendations. Get your gun club on air this month. Call me Dan Muir today at 303-927-9220.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, jumping right to the phones. Wayne, you're next. What's going on today, sir?
Hey, how are you, John?
Hey, Wayne, what's up?
Well, you know what? I thought I'd throw my hat in the ring in this conversation here. It's unfortunate that this has to become a discussion about religious freedoms and religious liberties. This should be a question of freedom of association.
Yeah, and I think that there's a parallel thread there. I think that both are appropriate to argue, particularly from the perspective that this is actually, you know, marriage is a religious institution. And so if from that standpoint, that's a great argument. But I agree with you that I think that it shouldn't be solely focused on free exercise of religion. There is definitely a freedom of association and right to contract issue as well that isn't quite as emotionally tied from the liberal's perspective.
Well, that's the problem. When this whole thing came down to, in its very inception, the argument should never have been made this is a religious freedom. They should have been arguing that freedom of association is something that we all have a right to, and our freedoms are being stepped on, and that's where we need to focus. If we'd focus on that, we could win that battle, and then all the other battles would be won.
You think, though, on the business side of the fence, Wayne, that would be easier to win, or do you think the freedom, you know, the religious aspect of it is easier to win on? I guess that's a question maybe for Wayne and Jenna both.
Well, I think you're right. That's a great question, John. I think the religious freedom would probably be more easily won because you have a lot of people that are very passionate, that are people of faith, and they're going to be more likely to jump in and really push for this. The people that are fighting for freedom of association is a very, very, very small minority of the American public because only a very small minority of the American public actually understands it.
Yeah, and, you know, Wayne, I think that from the legal perspective, I would disagree that we shouldn't have argued this from a freedom of religion perspective, because I think that it's important to preserve and protect that and have good constitutional jurisprudence and precedent in that area. But from a legal strategic standpoint, I think that you can run both parallel arguments simultaneously. And if you don't win on one, you can win on the other and still get the correct outcome. And hopefully the Supreme Court, especially with Justice Gorsuch now, will make the correct decision on this. And so I do think it is a religious liberty issue because it implicates that portion of the First Amendment. But I also think that you're correct that it is also a freedom of association issue. I mean, often these types of cases aren't just one issue to the exclusion of all others.
I agree. And to your point earlier, when you said that you didn't believe that the federal government should be involved, absolutely agree. But I don't think the state government should be involved in marriage either. That should be a decision that's between two people. And if two people of faith decide they want to get married, it's a covenant marriage. If two people that are not people of faith want to get married and they want to get married by the justice of the peace, they should be able to do that. And frankly, if somebody wants to call themselves married and never actually do the nuptials or never do the paperwork, I think that should be fine. Why is the government, state or federal, involved in it at all?
Well, you know, you just mentioned the justice of the peace. That's state, right? So you can't avoid that. I mean, if somebody, but I agree with you that in terms of defining what marriage is and that type of covenant, that is the exclusive province of the church, and churches can define that according to our religious beliefs. That's the entire point what originally, you know, was the separation of church and state, not in the way that the liberals are saying, but that there are two different spheres of authority, and just like the family, right? And they do overlap in some ways. And historically, it wasn't because of the patriarchy and all of this stuff that the liberals are raising. It was because the state had an interest, had not only an economic interest, but also just a state traditional values interest in the institution of marriage, and they wanted to give benefits and privileges to the traditional family, and that's actually a good thing.
We did that to encourage marriage, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, we did that to encourage marriage and to say, you know, if we have joint right of survivorship, if we have tax breaks, if we have, you know, all these things, we're encouraging traditional marriage. That's okay for states to do, but I agree with you that if we are trying to now force the states to recognize, you know, other types of marriages, the states can decline to be in the marriage business altogether. Or, like what I said to our last caller, I'm fine if we leave marriage between one man and one woman, because that's what it is, and that is a religious standpoint. And if they just said, you know, we, for power of attorney, for all those other things, you can elect whomever you want, that doesn't cross the threshold of marriage. That's okay for the states to do also. So we as conservatives need to be consistent and understand what are we actually arguing for when we talk about the difference between marriage and civil
unions. Good point.
Well, my point is that on that particular issue, and I agree with you 100%, other than the fact that I don't think the state should mandate involvement either. The state should be out of it. The federal government, the state government, all government should be out of marriage, period.
And they could be.
None of their business.
They could be once the IRS changes their rules about deductions, but that's all that would really take.
Right. And the states could be. I mean, you could have, you know, someone to just say, you know what, we're not going to issue marriage licenses at all. But then you deal with the collateral consequence. Like you have, for example, in real property situations, you have something called the joint right of survivorship, that if a married couple is married, then they don't have to pay, you know, those types of taxes and those types of things. And so you'd have to deal with those collateral consequences. The states could. They could choose to do that or not. So,
Good point. Oh, well said. Wayne, appreciate it, man. It's always good.
You bet.
Thanks for calling. We really appreciate it. We'll come right back. Let's do this. What do you want to do next when we come back? Talk about the travel ban?
Yeah,
we think we should do this.
I'm so tired of winning, John. So tired
of winning. Awesome. All right, we'll talk about that as soon as we come back. Rejuvenation on the Rocks is coming up next. Speaking of winning, why not win with your body, Dan?
No, Donald Trump did say we would be tired of winning. We're going to win so much, we're going to be tired of
it. Keep winning. So win with your body. Go to Rejuvenation on the Rocks and get what you need to get ready for the summer before it ends.
I got
to
get rid of this Obama tattoo.
We'll do that. They can do that for you. They can remove an Obama tattoo.
I'm glad you're sitting on the other side of me right now. You know,
720-328-9094. Rejuvenation on the Rocks. Give Roxy and the gals a call. They'd love to help you. And when you do, tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Cool Sculpting at Rejuvenation on the Rocks is the only FDA-approved non-surgical, non-invasive treatment that targets, freezes, and eliminates fat cells in those annoying trouble areas that are so resistant to diet and exercise. You have finally made the move to take control of your health and your body. You're eating right and getting your exercise. The only problem is that it seems like no matter what you do, there is that one area that just won't go away. With this easy and effective procedure, you will see the results you want within only a few weeks. Roxy has performed over 8,000 Cool Sculpting treatments for her happy clients, so she knows what she's doing. And as if looking better than you ever had before isn't enough, here's even more incentive to call Roxy right now. How about getting your Cool Sculpting treatment for the lowest price ever? Plus, you get 2 free body contouring sessions with every Cool Sculpting appointment. You're not going to find a deal like that anywhere else. Call Roxy O'Brien at Rejuvenation on the Rocks at 720-328-9094. Or go to Rejuvenation on the Rocks. That's ROX.com to schedule your Cool Sculpting treatment today.
Colorado Select isn't a corporate chain of auto repair shops. At the chain stores, you get,
I don't know what kind of oil filter we use. Why would that matter?
But at Colorado Select shops, you get,
yes, of course, we use the top of the line oil filters to keep your car in perfect running order for as long as possible.
At chain shops, you get,
so what kind of car is that?
But at Colorado Select shops, you get,
did you know that your car will actually run better if you use this aftermarket part that the manufacturer passed on just to save a few pennies?
And at chain shops you get,
warranty? What do you need a warranty for? Don't you trust us?
But at Colorado Select shops you get,
yes indeed, we offer a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty on every repair at every shop.
At ColoradoSelect.com, you'll find a group of hand-picked member shops whose ASE-certified master technicians are driven to provide outstanding customer service, plus that extra personal touch that you just don't get at a corporate chain shop. ColoradoSelect.com, the anti-corporate chain shop group of auto repair shops. Keep your car on the road. Select the best at Colorado Select.
Learn how to trade, invest, protect, and grow your money with Online Trading Academy's patented methods. Attend a free half-day class on investing for long-term wealth and short-term income. Call 303-217-4511. That's 303-217-4511 or visit tradingacademy.com.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Let's talk about...
winning!
Yeah, Trump's travel ban. What's the scoop?
Make America great again. All right. So the Supreme Court unanimously... by the way, this is how ridiculous those judges in the Ninth Circuit and everything were, because the Supreme Court unanimously removed the injunction. So let me explain that. Basically, what happened on the trial court level is that they said, okay, Trump issued his executive order that was essentially a temporary halt on immigration from seven originally and then six specific countries, and said we want to put in more extreme vetting, and so we want to have a 90-day temporary hold.
Okay.
And
which as a president he can do.
He can, and there is constitutional precedent and congressional law for that. And yet, two very liberal judges, and then the Ninth Circuit, which is a very liberal circuit,
right,
said, no, we don't like that politically, so we are going to place an injunction, meaning we are going to stop that executive order from taking effect. And then that was appealed to the Supreme Court in two ways.
By the Trump organization,
correct? Yes, by the Department of Justice. And so two ways. One was a quick, you know, you need to rule on the injunction so that you can see, is the injunction going to stay in place or not? And that was an emergency appeal. And then the second part of it was saying you need to hear the whole case to say, to essentially answer the question, can a president issue this kind of executive order? So what the Supreme Court did this morning was it ruled on the emergency appeal and unanimously said, we're removing the injunction, and it's for the second executive order, so from six countries. And the only provision they said was that the ban may not be enforced against those with a bona fide connection to this country, such as family members.
So they have
here,
a green card or something along those lines, they
right,
can come.
Right. And so so that was part of was the emergency appeal, but then they have also decided to take up the case in full in the fall term. So they're going to actually hear the case. It'll go to oral argument, briefing, all of that. It may end up being moot, which is the legal term to say that it doesn't actually matter ultimately once it gets to the court, because since this is only a hold for 120 days.
It'll be over by then anyway.
But it's still the
issue. It's just precedence for the next president, too,
right? The issue could still survive that. So okay, we'll see if it ultimately ends up being heard or not. But the bottom line that we need to know for this is that the president, yeah, he can do that. It was so simple. As Trump said, even a high school student can read the law on that.
Okay.
And second, the fact that it was unanimous is a huge, huge victory for the Trump
administration. Every one of the Supreme Court justices said, wait a minute. Time out. You guys down here on this lower court, this Ninth Circuit, you knuckleheads, you must not know the law, because we're unanimously saying you're knuckleheads.
Right. And what they did was actually just look at the text of the Constitution, the text of that law that Congress passed, that United States code that applies, and said, yeah, the president has authority to do that. It is not a political question. Regardless of whether you agree or disagree with right, what Trump is doing, that's politics.
And the Supreme Court didn't look at any of the political statements made by Trump or any of his organization, saying basically, that's
doesn't
not
matter.
The point. He made this order. It's a fitting order. There's nothing wrong with the order. It can stand. Go away, Ninth Circuit.
Exactly. By law, he can do this, regardless of whether you are like it or disagree with it or whatever.
So what's the Ninth Circuit do at this point?
So they should tuck their
eat a
tail.
Little crow?
And, you know, yeah.
John, I think you need to start writing the opinions for the Supreme Court.
I could.
Yeah, Ninth District, you're knuckleheads.
You're just knuckleheads.
Yeah, just knuckleheads.
See ya.
And just leave it at that.
That'd be great. I have to say, shout out, even though Justice Kagan often falls on the liberal side, she did have a really fun decision last term where she quoted Spider-Man throughout the whole thing, and it was kind of awesome. And, like, the nerd in me loved that. So, and it was actually a well-founded decision.
So justices can be real people.
They can.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. Sometimes they can use their, like, nerd flair, and people like me kind of geek out over that, and it's
okay,
fun.
So where do we stand right now? Travel ban is on, I'm assuming?
It is on.
So
yep,
basically,
as of today.
Customs
injunction has been lifted.
Right now, if somebody comes through that doesn't meet the criteria to enter the country, they don't get in.
Correct. And so what Trump's second executive order is now in full force and effect because the injunction.
So if you're coming from one of those six countries, you're not vetted, you don't have any reason to be here, you're not coming in.
It's bad for you. And, you know, guess what? It is a privilege, not a right, to enter the United States. And so that's where the Ninth Circuit also got it wrong, is that they said, well, this is a...
Yeah, there's exactly. There's no right to come here, folks.
No, just like I don't have a fundamental right to go to France or to go to
Mexico,
any other country.
For that matter.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
Okay, so, you know, California has instituted that travel ban against states that don't have
Texas being one of them.
LGBT rights or whatever.
Right. And so Tennessee, did you see Tennessee's thing on that? It was
well,
awesome.
Can Trump just add California to this travel ban and just keep them there?
No, Dan.
No, because they're actually U.S. citizens, too. Most of them, anyways. I mean, at least a few. And distinguishing that, actually, because my dad was actually asking a question about that yesterday. The California ban was state-funded travel to those, and I think it's states. So they're not saying, like, you and I as private citizens
they're saying they won't fund it inside the
states. But, you know, the whole premise behind that is that, you know, these other states are haters and they don't like LGBT people. But remember, California, the only reason that you have gay marriage today is because some court ruled on it, because the people voted twice against gay marriage in California.
Right. And, you know, and I actually have this on social media that Tennessee did a joint resolution.
Right here. I'm going to read it.
Number 111.
Okay, I'm going to read a part of it real quick.
Fantastic.
It says here, whereas, there's a lot of whereases, but whereas Tennessee is pleasantly surprised that California will not be sending its economic development teams to Tennessee to recruit our businesses, but we can still send our teams to recruit their businesses. That's just one of the things
that
says.
I love that.
There's
many.
Awesome.
I love many. All right, let's do this.
You should go and actually read this so you can see it's State of Tennessee Senate Joint Resolution number 111.
I'll send it to you. You can post it on Facebook.
Okay,
all right,
good.
So we'll do that. We'll come right back. Don't go anywhere, everybody. Front Range Mortgage is coming up next. If you got remodeling, things you want to do around the house, some stuff maybe that even got damaged with the wind. Okay, landscaping, I lost a tree last week because of the wind. So things happen, and insurance doesn't cover all those things. So maybe you want to take a little money out of equity and get some of those things done. Brian Murphy at Front Range Mortgage can help you do just that. 303-500-1900 is his phone number. Call him today and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
You love your neighborhood, great schools, and close to your friends. Your home is perfect, except for the dated walnut kitchen with avocado appliances, and perhaps the moldy master bath that you're afraid to walk on barefoot, or the creaky deck, or the scary basement. But I digress. If you love your home and never want to move, but want to make it closer to your dreams, we can help. I'm Brian Murphy, owner of Front Range Mortgage, a local, Colorado-only team that's helped hundreds of homeowners to remodel their present, outdated house, turning it into a home of their dreams, without the trauma and expense of an unnecessary move. We have very affordable options to help you remodel your kitchen, bath, even scary basement with no money out of pocket, often even lowering your interest rate to boot. Call me and my local team for a painless 5-minute conversation to see how quickly you can be in your own dream home. Our number, 303-500-1900. That's 303-500-1900, or visit frontrangemortgage.com.
NMLS number 378844, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Last but not least, Jenna Ellis with us today. Our next topic that we're going to cover is the Trinity Lutheran case. Now, we interviewed some folks on this in the past. Give us an update on what the Trinity Lutheran case is and how it was handed down.
Yeah, so we got the opinion on this one today. What happened essentially is that Trinity Lutheran, as a church, as a religious institution, had a playground. And they applied for a public benefit to...
A grant. Per se.
To resurface their
playground.
And yeah, to just resurface, it was available to
every
other institution.
Grant money was going around. All they had to do was apply, so they did.
Right, and they were denied solely on the basis that
they were
religiously
church, right?
affiliated. And so what the Supreme Court said today was a 7-2 decision, which was great. So that was a pretty decisive majority held. And this was Chief Justice Roberts said, the exclusion of Trinity Lutheran from a public benefit for which it is otherwise qualified solely because it is a church is odious to our Constitution and cannot stand. And Alliance Defending Freedom, who of course represented Trinity Lutheran, their senior counsel said the Supreme Court's decision today affirms the common sense principle that the government is not being neutral when it treats religious organizations worse than everyone else. Great decision.
Real quick, speculation that Kennedy will announce his retirement, true or false?
I think it's going to be false out of everything that I've heard and seen, primarily because he's hired four law clerks. And when justices retire, they get one. He's already hired four for the next term. It's probably the biggest indicator.
Well, that's going to really disappoint Wally, because Wally wants you to be the next Supreme Court justice.
That would be awesome. Right, and if he retires, then, you know, throw my name out there. Trump, if you're listening.
Less than a minute. I want to cover this tomorrow, but I wanted to get your opinion on this real quick. There is a movement going on, impeachmentmarch.org. On July 2nd, we march for impeachment. Headline reads, Donald Trump has been in blatant violation of the Constitution from the day he was sworn into the office of president.
Have
your
these
quick
people
comments?
Freaking read the Constitution? It's five pages.
No,
read it.
We've sent Nicolas Cage out to go find it, because nobody in Washington knows where it is.
Well, So there is absolutely nothing that is an impeachable offense.
No basis for any of
this. No basis at all. And remember, impeachment means that there is a criminal offense that would rise to the constitutional standard. It's absurd.
Okay. We'll talk about more of this tomorrow. Jenna, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
9 News tonight. What time?
I know. Right now. 6 p.m.
Okay. Watch it now. It's right up
Woo-hoo!
Next. All right. Our intern, thank you very much for joining us, Cassie.
Welcome back, Charlie. Yeah,
Dan Muir. Welcome back, Charlie. And we'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. If you missed the first hour, catch it next. Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush. KLZ 560.